This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello, my name is Tipshane Barker. I'm 7 years old, and I'm a vegan. I don't eat meat or dairy. I eat organic, and you should too.
Yeah, simple truth. From the mouth of the babe, we are digging a grave with a knife and a fork. Then we move on.
Most of the maladies are self-inflicted. Omitted junk food, candy and biscuits. Soy and corn should be highly restricted. Breaking down the body to pieces. Impeding the pancreas, causing diabetes,
and cancer, and many autoimmune diseases.
Hard chemicals is the prevailing thesis.
Take is sponsored by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Burger King, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, the Water and Sewage Corporation, the Cleveland Clinic, and the Pan American Health Organization.
Life is the greatest well. Many run to the doctor for pills. Instead of fixing the problem, it only make them ill. We need education, no more medication. Yo, herbs are the healing of the nation. Big pharma are scheming them to stop from plan. Inject the youths with vaccination. Them a mash up regeneration. Missing say,
take back your health.
Them take the seeds of the fruits, make the plants them hybridize. Computer seeds.
And hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Hit Back. I'm Duquesa D. Dean, hosting today's show. Before we even get into the show, I'd like to send love and light to every single person who needs it today. You know, we see people all throughout the day as we move about our daily lives, and we see the surface of those people not really understanding what's going on beneath the surface. And the reality is everyone is dealing with something. So I want to encourage you today. And I'll let you know that life has many seasons. And like the weather, those seasons change. So hold on, hang in there. Your season change will soon be here. I'm so excited to host this episode of The Hit Back today. You know, as I've been just paying attention to what's happening in the news with the weekend killing spree, it seems to me that we are a nation full of anxiety, stress, gang activity, or just hot-headed people driving around and videotaping themselves as they shoot at a residence. Like, how insane is that? But whatever is driving these actions, the violence has to stop. We are still also discussing marital rape. It seems that today women don't have the right over their bodies after they get married. And so this debate continues. Is marital rape real? Some say yes. Some say no. I have my personal stand on it. And my personal stand is, you better wait for me to say yes. We also noticed that the supply chain interruptions are causing prices to rise even more. Not to mention the war in Ukraine that is causing gasoline spikes. When last have you been to the pump? And so the cost of every single thing is rising. I want to encourage you out there to keep your eyes open, to pay attention to what's going on so that you can stay ahead of these inflation changes that are inevitable and that we can pivot and adjust as we best possibly can. So today, our show is going to be focused on... wellness values. Can you hear me? Our show is going to be focused on wellness values. We're going to be talking about the general health of our nation, And this conversation not only will be about those chronic diseases, but we will also be touching on some sexual health matters because you really need to know how to protect your things. Before we get into that conversation, though, I just like to share with you from the Office of the Prime Minister, really encouraging us about being vigilant, but the COVID-19 pandemic isn't over as yet. The COVID vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are now available at South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesday, at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 3 to 6 p.m., and Fleming Street from 4 to 6 p.m., the Mall at Marathon from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if you haven't gotten your vaccination and you're ready to begin, please make sure that you visit one of those clinics. Again, South Beach Clinic, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Flamingo Gardens Clinic, Wednesdays, 1 to 5. Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 3 to 6 p.m. At Fleming Street Clinic from 4 to 6 p.m. And at the Mall at Marathon, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So ladies, I'm so privileged to have you sharing in this conversation with us today. Our conversation, again, is about our wellness values, and I'm excited to welcome Dr. Candice Bannister to the HITBAC. Dr. Bannister attended the University of West Indies and practiced internal medicine at PMH for 10 years. She recently joined a team of doctors at Advanced Family Medicine specializing in preventative care. She is the mother of two active, beautiful children. She loves fitness, reading, and traveling. Dr. Bannister, welcome to the show. Also joining the show today is Erica Morris. Now, Erica has so many things on her bio, but for me, the two most important things that I love about her is one, her legacy college tours, which really helps young people with the foundation that they need for their applications and getting into college, but also because Erica is a sister warrior in the fight for life. Ladies, please go ahead and unmute yourself and just say a bit hello and welcome to our, and say a hi to our listening audience.
Hello, how are you?
Great. So we're going to have a
stimulus. I'm so excited to be on today.
Awesome, Dr. Bannister. I'm so excited to have both of you on the show today. And as we get started for our conversation, I'd just like to let our listening audience know that they too can participate in the show. Please go ahead and text 422-4796. That's text 422-4796. Or call 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4253. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments. Ladies, let's dive into our conversation. Now, the first thing I want to talk about today is when we were getting into this shutdown for COVID, I remember vividly the words of Dr. Sands just like bouncing in my head about the general state, the health state of our country. One of the concerns is that there are so many chronic diseases like diabetes, like high blood pressure, and that generally we are an obese nation. Now, the word obese is strong, but let's just be real. We are unhealthy as a people generally. There are some exceptions, yes. Our diets are made up of heavy carbohydrates. Our diets are made up of saturated fats. Our diets are sometimes made up of a lot of fast food. We have genetic diseases that flow down our family lines. And to be serious, to just be straight up, I've been told that I'm obese because my height and my weight, they don't match up according to the chart, right? So even I sit in this category of obese, as healthy as I think that I am. So when we look at why you went into medicine, first of all, Dr. Bannister, share with us What was the catalyst? What was the desire? What was the thing that caused you to say, hey, I want to study medicine to help people?
You know, this may sound cliche, but, you know, I remember as a child, I was 7 years old. And for Christmas, I got a stethoscope, actually a whole medical kit. And I thought that, and you know, but before then, I don't think that I ever thought about medicine. And I got this medical kit. It had a stethoscope. It had a scalpel. It had equipment for suturing. And I would just play with my dolls and play with that medical kit continuously. And, you know, every birthday, Christmas, I would always ask for something medical. And I remember my birthday came right after Christmas. And my mom would ask me what I wanted. And I said that I wanted this chemistry kit. And so I would just, I was always, always interested in medicine from a very young age. And so that carried on. And I, you know, I just felt that medicine was a way for me to really make a difference and for me to help. Okay. And so this is why I got into medicine today.
I love that so much. I remember buying my granddaughter a whole like dental and medical kit. It's just amazing how things that happen in our childhood and the toys, the creativity that we're allowed to foster really leads the way for us to enter a career. Yes, I love that, Dr. Bannister. Thank you so much for your service. Ms. Erica,
yes,
welcome
ma'am.
To the Hit Back again. And as we are talking about this thing of obesity, I just want to connect it to your desire to always look out for people and to help other people advance, which is really what you do through Legacy Toys. And so why do you have this passion for people? I just want to set this foundation before we get into our conversation.
You know, DeQuessa, I really don't know where it came from. You know, before I actually started working in college education, I always worked with at-risk girls. I've done it in Miami, and I did it here at the Willie Mae Pratt Center. And a lot of people thought, oh, you know, you're working with women and you're working with girls because you might have been a victim of abuse. I was like, no. I'm doing it because I couldn't believe that other little girls weren't raised the way I was. I was 24 years old. I know this sounds crazy, and this is when I realized how sheltered I was. I was 24 years old when I met someone whose father was actually living, and she didn't know him. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know your dad? She's like, oh, he lives upstate Connecticut somewhere. I said, so you never met? I assumed that he was. Okay, when she says, I don't know my father. And I just cannot imagine life without my father, the childhood that I've had. So I think the reason why I went into that is because I wanted kids to experience what I experienced. You know, I traveled, the hugs and the kisses and, you know, the I love yous. And I did that. And I just couldn't believe that there were other people that did not experience that. So I think that was the catalyst that got me into helping others. But I realized when you're working with at-risk girls, boys, whatever, if you are not mentally prepared for that, leave it alone.
Yes.
Leave it alone. It was a lot because I did not know how to compartmentalize. I didn't know how to, you know, separate it from, okay, that's the work that I do. This is the volunteer work that I do. Now I'm going home. I didn't know how to do that. And it got me in a lot of trouble and it kept me broke and it kept me, I'm going to be honest, you know? And so now I kind of, with Legacy College Readiness and Tours, I'm still assisting, but in a different capacity, and I absolutely love it, especially when you have a student that comes back after they graduate. Ms. Morris, I have my degree, or Ms. Morris, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have gotten a scholarship. So that's where I am.
And you know, ladies, I just want to commend you both for your service to country, because what you both do by serving our citizens is super important. Erica
what you do is much like what Dr. Bannister does. It's just two different fields because
right.
you focus on helping in a different way. And, you know, stress is a big trigger for disease
yes.
as well. Stress mm-hmm. and the management of stress is a big trigger for disease. It could also be the reason why we eat mindlessly at times as well. You know, we're just always going. So Dr. Bannister, my yes. first question is, what do you believe are the contributing factors to Bahamians being considered obese?
You know, this question is so multifactorial. I think the main factor for obesity in the Bahamas is our poor dietary practices. You know, there are over 100 fast food restaurants in New Providence alone.
Wow.
And, you know, therefore, it makes these poor choices easy. It's accessible, convenient. You know, Bahamians, we consume an alarming amount of sugary and fatty foods that are really high in calories, that are very low in nutritional value, you know. And so these choices are actually have been embedded in us from childhood. Think about it. Sunday dinners. We have two meats, one possibly fried, coleslaw, macaroni, potato
right.
salad. Okay. And you know what? That's going to trickle into Monday and we're going to eat the same thing. And, you know, it is a misconception also that healthier foods are more expensive. Now, of course, yes, to these some places that maybe it will be expensive, but it is a choice. But think about it. Go into KFC, okay? A family of four going to KFC. You're going to spend over close to $40 on a meal.
Yeah.
And you can take half of that and go to the grocery store and get a whole chicken and bake that, you know? And another thing, too, that I think also contributes to a healthy lifestyle is an understanding of what really is a balanced diet, okay? When we look at a balanced diet, really and truly our meals, all of our meals should contain vegetables, fruits and vegetables. We should have 4 to 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Half of our plate should be vegetables. The other half should be a lean protein, okay? And the other half of that should be a grain, and hopefully a healthy grain, such as sweet potato, maybe a small, you know, a few tablespoons of jasmine rice, okay? So there are healthy choices. So even sometimes with this hectic lifestyle, we do have to stop. We do have to stop and go to a fast food joint. But you know what? There are still healthy choices there. You know, there are salads. There are, you can have the sandwich, maybe not the fries, not the soda, take off the mayonnaise. So there are healthy
what?
Choices.
I'm like, what to right here?
So definitely. So I think really and truly the main factor is our poor health, this food choices. And again, other factors too are our sedentary lifestyle. And, you know, I saw a statistic the other day that was incredibly alarming. 72% of adults in the Bahamas stated that they do not engage in physical activity. I
wow.
thought that statistic was quite alarming, you know. And also too, our jobs, a lot of us have desk jobs, you know, which add to that. And then again, the accessibility to transportation. We're not walking or riding a bicycle to work anymore, you know? So
yeah, a lot of
so all of these factors have added to obesity.
So I agree with you, Dr. Bannister, because we have a very convenient lifestyle. Right?
Yes.
In some ways it's out of necessity. It just really depends on an individual household. But I also agree with you because we have been trained. Our Sunday dinners are like a training that happened through our teenage years. And we were taught that this is what should be happening on a Sunday.
Definitely.
We eat our meals, and then, you know, that word niggeritis kicks in. We lay down, like you say, and the movement has really been reduced a lot. You know, one of the ways that I have found to eat healthier has really been by going to the farmer's market, because I find that the available organic produce is much cheaper, and it is also a larger quantity. So there are ways that we can look at incorporating more vegetables in our diet. And I just want to tell you, like, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, I interacted with a young girl who her mom had an emergency situation, and she came over to my house. The little girl came over to my house as her mom dealt with the emergency. And as I asked her about, you know, are you hungry? And she said, yes. And so I cut up some fruit, made a sandwich, and I cut up some fruit. And, you know, I literally went into the bathroom and cried, because the little girl asked me what some of the fruit was, because she had never seen some of those fruits, like grapes, because grapes is like really, grapes have always been expensive, right? So the things that are, the things that we think are commonplace to us, sometimes privilege and we don't even recognize it and know it, it really just depends on an individual's background, their upcoming, their access to money, their access to resources as well. Sometimes that $20 at a fast food restaurant will stretch and serve 6 people, and you don't have to worry about being in the kitchen. So it really does require a mindset shift to switch from that place of convenience to now meal prepping and getting your family nutritious meals that you take the time to pre-prepare, or to somehow, you know, get them involved in the preparation of a healthier meal as well. So Dr. Bannister, we're talking about obesity, and we're talking about the factors that contribute to it, why so many of us Bahamians are walking around and falling into the obese category. Yes. What are the more diseases that we see in the Bahamas?
So, you know, the chronic disease that we see in the Bahamas, of course, is hypertension, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, okay, and that can extend into stroke, heart attack, and obesity is a chronic disease. And so people don't realize that, but obesity is a chronic disease. And obesity has its, you know, health consequences, such as all those non-communicable diseases that I just mentioned earlier, you know. And not only, and kind of coming back to obesity too, obesity also not only leads to diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, but also certain cancers, okay, such as ovarian, colon, breast. And so there's been an increase, or, you know, there's been studies showing that obesity has increased the risk of certain cancers, you know. And so thus, this then leads to a burden on our healthcare system, you know. And so a lot of these diseases can actually be prevented, you know, and that's probably going on to another topic, you know, our lifestyle. Definitely.
Right. Well, listen, Dr. Bannister, I got the scare of my life last year. I am actually the president of a cancer support group, and so I support women with cancer. Yes. And I've always been in the background, encouraging, motivating, providing access to them, you know, tools and resources to help them make those choices and decisions that you've spoken about regarding their food choices and activity. But I had my own scare with cancer last year, and it was really, really frightening. Just the thought of having that diagnosis put me in a tremendous amount of fear. My mom passed away from cancer. And so when I sat in my doctor's office and we were talking about, you know, the possibility of this diagnosis for me, my life went into a tailspin. And up until that time, I thought that I was healthy. But what I recognized was that I may have been about 50% healthy, but there was a lot that I was doing that I could have changed, which I've now changed since my surgery and dealing with all of those things. And so I've made some additional changes, but I'll just say, like, some of the food just don't taste the same.
No.
Some of the food, so it takes some reconditioning. I know, Erica, I know recently I've seen you talk about your journey with being diagnosed with cancer. And you know, as we progress conversation, as Dr. Bannister just alluded to, that there's high blood pressure, there's diabetes, We have, you know, heart disease, heart failure, all of these challenges that stem. I mean, we could trace it back to our diet. Some of it is genetic, but we could trace it back to the food that we eat. Tell us just, you know, briefly how you discovered that you actually had cancer.
It was, what month is this? We're in March. No, what month is this? February? What month are we in right now?
We're March.
March. Sorry. Okay. It was actually around this time last year. My son and I were watching TV, and he was trying to lay across my lap, and he grazed my nipple, and I took it off. And I could just remember like pushing him and looking inside my shirt to make sure that my nipples were still there.
Wow.
I can't even describe that pain. And I just, I'm like, gosh, you know what happened? And I've just chalked it off as, oh, you know, this is probably around, you know, that time of the month and it's a little tender or whatever. But the pain was so excruciating, I couldn't lay on that side. And I'm like, no, it has to be more than just, you know, that time of the month, because the other one isn't tender. It's just this one. So I have a friend that's an oncology nurse. I call her for everything. If I have a hangnail, I call her. Okay. I call her for everything. And I was like, I want you to come by and look at my breast or whatever. And I explained to her what happened. So she said, okay, I'll come by. And she came by. And she, because I had some triple D's, okay? Mm-hmm. And she lifted up and she says, Erica, your breasts are inflamed. She said, this breast is inflamed. And she started feeling it. And I think she felt something in, but she didn't want to alarm me. And she says, you need to go and get it checked. Go ahead and get a mammogram. So I had to go to my primary care doctor for them to write a referral for me to get a mammogram and an ultrasound. And I kind of saw it on the person who was doing the ultrasound's face. And they were like, you need to get a biopsy. And I got a biopsy. And
yes, I know.
And I got my results on the day of his death. He was dead a couple, and it just hit me. That's when I got the diagnosis. And, but that same friend was there, and I could remember the doctor was giving me my results, and all I heard was, unfortunately. And I could just remember falling out of the chair and my friend being there to pick me up. And my mother, you know, started praying or whatever. And he just cut to the chase and said, you know, unfortunately you have, he gave the scientific name for it. And he says, you do have breast cancer. And my life or my eyes, because that wasn't supposed to happen to me. You know, for the most part, yes, I have some extra sexiness on me, okay? But for the most part, I am a healthy person. Yes. You know, I did the juicing. I grew up in a household in the United States where we did not fry. I can remember the first time I taste Kool-Aid. I still cannot make Kool-Aid till this day. The first time I had Kool-Aid was when I moved to the Bahamas. So I eat all vegetables, you know, I would juice them, I would blend them. So I'm like, how does that happen to me? Okay, so and of course, I'm just halfway through the process right now. I completed 16, and on Valentine's Day is when I had the bilateral mastectomy. And I'm not supposed to be in the Bahamas, but I defied my doctor's orders. I said, okay. And the same day he told me no traveling for 6 weeks. 3 hours later, I was in the Bahamas.
Got it. Got it.
Whatever. I needed that break. because we right, talk about mental relief. Issues too. Yeah. Yes, it was because mm-hmm. what I say to people all the time, I thought I was handling the cancer very well. You know, I did a lot of things to distract myself. I have a million pink wigs. I wear everything pink. Whenever I went to the, you know, for chemo or whatever, everybody was like, okay, we're waiting to see what you have on today, what color pink wig you have on, you know? And, you know, some days I didn't feel like it, but then other days I tried to distract myself. And after the mastectomy, I could remember eating at the table, something healthy. And this wave of depression came over me. And for about a week, I just cried uncontrollably for a week. And it was, you know, that's when I learned one of my lessons of why I was actually going, you know, through this. Because you do wonder, why me?
Yeah.
This wasn't supposed to happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I did learn one lesson. I hope I learn more. You know,
I'm sure you will learn more, Erica.
Yes.
Erica, we stand with you. We support you. Mm-hmm. I've watched your journey on Facebook, and I want you to know that you are an inspiration to many. Thank you for being so open and sharing about your story. And
thank
I also
you.
Want to say thank you for reaching out to your friend to come to take a look at your breast, right? Because let's be real, Erica. Bahamas, we can explain away every single thing. Like, our body gives us an indication that something is wrong.
Right.
You know, our body is going to say, there's pain. I have a lot of pain in my joints. There's a lot, that means there's a lot of inflammation. Our
right.
body is going to say,
go
hey,
to
you
the beach.
Release a lot of water. You're going to go to the bathroom. You're going to have frequent urination. You're going to have blurry vision. Like, you're going to have maybe rashes on your skin. You're going
right.
to have headaches. Like, your body is going to give you clues that, hey, something is happening. And we oftentimes make excuses for why these things have happened
Definitely.
To us, right?
Definitely.
What's better than excuses, though, is exactly what you did. Getting somebody to check us. And so, Dr. Bannister, I want to ask you the importance of these annual exams, because I know people who actually have insurance,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the insurance has a free annual every year. And they're challenged with using that benefit because they feel healthy, but yet they're explaining away certain symptoms. So how important is that annual exam? And not just for women, because this show is not just geared towards
Definitely.
Women, but how important is the annual exam for the woman and for the man?
The annual exam is extremely important, you know? The annual is not for when you have symptoms, okay? An annual is important because it assesses the risk for any future health issues, okay? Because we do a examination and a panel of labs that can detect any minute abnormality, okay? It can also detect, so we can address this issue before you actually have disease onset. We can detect if you are pre-hypertensive, okay? And we can do certain things to prevent you from becoming hypertensive, okay? Such as diets or lifestyle changes with respect to diet, lowering the salt, adding more fruits and vegetables, you know? We can also detect if someone is pre-diabetic. Also, with our annuals, we do what we call age-appropriate cancer screening, okay? And so that will involve a mammogram, okay? And that usually starts 40 and above, okay? And again, you know, just like Erica, you know, well, thank God that she was able to, you know, to detect her, you know, breast cancer, and she's going through this incredible journey that, you know, and sharing her story. And this is likely has saved other lives, you know, but your mammogram, your yearly mammogram, with women over the age of 21 or 3 years after their first sexual encounter, pap smears would detect cervical cancer or not even cervical cancer, with precancerous cells, and then we can deal with that. Also, too, with cancer screening, we can detect early stages of colon cancer. We do that by age 45, and you can do that either by colonoscopy, okay, or a test called the FIT test that you do yearly, okay, that can detect blood in the stool, and that can actually be an early sign of colon cancer. And that's for men and women. And also the PSA, which can also detect prostate cancer in men. So the annual is very important. So it is not to, just focus on if a person has already have a disease, but to prevent a person from developing a disease. And also too, for monitoring and treatment, okay? And deciding the best treatment for a patient.
Yeah. So you from personal experience that when I was younger, those annual screenings were not so important. You're young, you're vibrant, you're moving around.
Yes.
So those annual exams were not really so important to me. I'm just going to give a shameless plug out to my doctor, Dr. Gertrude Holder, because last year she chased me down to come in to get my annual. I mean, she nagged me. She nagged me. And I gave her excuse after excuse. And it wasn't until last year, May, actually, that we were having, it was all cancer month, and we were having a screening. We were doing screenings during the month. And I ended up at her office. She facilitated some of the screening for the women. And she said, man, do your annual one time while you're here. And I gave her every excuse. She said, I'm not letting you walk out the door until you walk up on this table and I do your annual. And it was because of that I discovered my pre-cancer diagnosis because she was so adamant as a doctor. That's the first thing that I want to share about how important those annuals are. I want to agree with you because if I had waited another year, maybe even another year and a half, I would have had a cancer diagnosis versus a pre-cancer diagnosis. And so, you know, having caring doctors as well who will push you to have those annual exams and stay behind you is also very important. Ladies, this conversation is, it's fuel for my soul. But we do have to go to a commercial break. So on the next side of the commercial break, we'll talk a little bit more about our wellness values.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of it. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers in New Providence and the Family Islands that the corporation will commence mass disconnections beginning Monday, March 28, 2022, on all outstanding accounts and financial agreements. Customers who have not honored the advice to visit their local offices to update those agreements as soon as possible. And all customers are further advised to bring their accounts up to date to avoid the disconnection of their water and sewage services without further notice.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Hello, my name is Tipshay Barker. I study and I'm a vegan. I do eat meat. Are dairy. I eat organic and you should too.
Yeah, simple truth. From the mouth of the babe, we are digging a grave with a knife and a fork. Then we move on.
Most of the maladies are self-inflicted. Omitted junk food, candy and biscuits. Soy and corn should be highly restricted. Breaking down the body to pieces. Impeding the pancreas, causing diabetes,
and cancer, and many autoimmune diseases. Heart chemicals.
And everyone, and welcome back to the Hit Back. It is Duquesa Dean hosting today with my two brilliant guests, Dr. Bannister and Erica Morris. Before we pick up our conversation, though, I'd like to ask a question. Has it been 5 months since your second COVID-19 vaccine? Then don't forget your booster. Getting your COVID-19 vaccine and booster can prevent you missing important job opportunities and special occasions abroad. Being fully vaccinated can help you with getting a job or being able to travel. Don't wait until it's too late to get your vaccines now. So that job or to travel. Visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment at your nearest government clinic or the mall at Marathon. Or simply walk into any of these locations. South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Wednesdays at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, 1 to 5 p.m. Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 3 to 6 p.m. And Fleming Street from 4 to 6 p.m. And don't forget about the Mall at Marathon, Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Get your vaccinations if you've not already done so. And so, ladies, it's been such a wonderful conversation hearing about, Erica's story, how she found out that she had her breast cancer, and Dr. Bannister also hearing from you about what those chronic diseases are and why we're considered obese are some of the ways that we can actually shift from either being pre-diabetic to no longer being diabetic just by lifestyle choices. You know, and this show today is particularly special to me because, you know, I've been diagnosed with diabetes for a number of years. And, you know, people say, well, you know, you shouldn't be so public. But, I mean, it's nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. When I was pregnant with my son, who is now 28, I had gestational diabetes. And so many years later, in my late 30s, the diabetes actually returned because they say once you have it in pregnancy, it's going to return later in life. And I can tell you one of the biggest challenges for me during the years of like 38 through I'd say 43 was really understanding how to manage diabetes. I was afraid that if I ate, my blood sugar numbers would spike. If my blood sugar numbers spike, I would get sleepy, go to bed. It could also be like you're drunk because your numbers are high, so it could mimic being intoxicated. I was just so afraid of the numbers because I was testing every day. I was so afraid of the numbers getting high. And so if I saw a number that was like 140, I'm going crazy because I'm doing my best to keep these numbers under 110, ideally under 100 as far as possible. And so food really fueled the disease. And it was really challenging learning how to eat properly, how to unlearn the eating behaviors that I had already been conditioned to and learn new eating behaviors, which allows me now to eat unlimited amounts of food without spiking my blood sugar because now they are not processed foods. Now they are not fatty foods, but it's actually more healthy food that I'm eating. And I really had to do this with the help of a health coach. I was not able to automatically make the shift and understand what I needed to eat to fuel my body versus creating, spiking my blood sugar and threatening me to be in this diabetic coma or whatever. And it's so freeing. It's just so freeing now to understand how the disease works and understand what can happen to reverse it or manage it. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about how these diseases impact our bodies, I want to bring this conversation now into
ways that we could protect your things, right? Because y'all know, you know, about 20 years ago, we had this whole drive about HIV prevention and how to protect your things or your condoms. There was this whole mission out there about HIV and AIDS, and that's kind of died away a bit with the onset of all these other things that we're dealing in. Perhaps it's being managed a bit more. But I do know that our sexual health is also impacted by some of these diseases. And so what are ways that we can protect our sexual health as individuals who have chronic diseases, first of all? And then I want to come to a general discussion about protecting your things. So Dr. Bannister, we'll start with you.
Yes. So we spoke about annuals. So annuals are a good way to screen for sexually transmitted disease. We involve a very extensive sexually transmitted disease panel that includes testing for gonorrhea, chlamydia, trichomonas, and HIV, okay? So it is very important. So, you know, it is very important to test for these sexually transmitted disease with your annual, because a lot of times you are asymptomatic. Okay, you are asymptomatic. So, you know, the younger, so people may think, oh, I don't have a discharge, a vaginal discharge or penile discharge. I don't have any burning when I urinate or any abdominal pain or anything like that. But actually, chlamydia can be asymptomatic up to 70% of the time. Okay. And it can be catastrophic if not caught, because chlamydia can actually lead to something called pelvic inflammatory disease in women, prevent you from getting pregnant. And if you do get pregnant, you may have what we call a tubal pregnancy, which is extremely dangerous. Okay. And can lead to death. And also too, I mean, there, and again, even though when you screen for the sexually transmitted disease, it's not going to prevent them, okay? But at least once you know, you can treat to prevent any problems in the future. And also too, you can prevent the spread of these disease. So that's why it's very important.
Okay. Now, Dr. Bannister, I know that, you know, in doing some research and working with cancer groups, I know that, you know, we focus a lot when we're talking about sexual health and protecting mm-hmm. your things. It's about HIV, it's about syphilis, it's about chlamydia, those sorts of diseases. But there's also the HPV disease, which is transferable easily between partners. I know that yes. one of the ways that HPV, you get HPV infected is by having multiple partners, and this is men and women. You mm-hmm. have a high, if you have multiple partners, or if the partner that you are with, that you're loyal to, has multiple partners and they're bringing it back to you. Some people yes. are able to work HPV out of their system. Some people end up with abnormal pap smears as a result, or by the time that they recognize that something is severely wrong, they may have vaginal bleeding, or they may have other major challenges that let them know that cervical cancer may be present. Mm-hmm. HPV is preventable. HPV is a sexually transmitted disease that is preventable.
Yes.
You know, as I was doing the research, if you're getting close to your partner's organs, there are some things that you can look for. I know that. You know, there are some symptoms that you could look for that can tell you, hey, you know what? Let me don't get as close as I am. Let me like remove you instead of going any lower. But what are some of the symptoms that someone can look at to say, you know what? Let me take extra precaution here.
Yes. So I agree with you. Definitely HPV it's a human papillomavirus. Okay. It's caused from the human papillomavirus, and it causes cervical cancer. It causes cervical cancer, or it can cause genital warts. There it is. There is a vaccine for HPV. It is, you get it, there's three vaccines. You get it every 2 months. Actually, new studies show that it's, you only actually need two vaccines now. So you get the first one and then the second one in 2 months later, and it can prevent HPV infection and therefore cervical cancer in women, because cervical cancer is caused by, really caused by the HPV virus. Now, you said that, so we're looking at, so the things that you would want to look at if you may have a sexually transmitted disease. So again, if you have an HPV infection, it may cause warts on the genitals. It can even be on the mouth, on the anus, depending on your sexual practices. Okay. With respect to chlamydia and gonorrhea.
We're going to pick this this part of the conversation up, because this is super important, right on the other side of our 5 p.m. news break. So keep that thought for me, as it's important for us to know these things. And we'll be right back right after our 5 p.m. news.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
But I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you, I love harder. Thought I wouldn't grow without you, now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. You thought I wouldn't sell without you, sold my million. I'm a survivor.
All right, and welcome back to the Hit Back. Thank you so much for joining us, our audience today. Thank you so much to Dr. Bannister and Erica for joining this conversation, important about our wellness values. Before we get back into our HPV conversation, though, I'd just like to share that the COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are safe, effective, and they protect you against getting a message from the Ministry of Health. Make sure that you are paying attention to your vaccination status. COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are safe, effective, and protect you against getting seriously ill, being hospitalized, and dying from COVID-19. Getting vaccinated helps to keep you and those you love safe from the serious effects of COVID-19. The vaccine offers the best protection against COVID-19 when combined with the physical distancing, hand washing or sanitizing, and wearing your face masks properly. Billions of people around the world and more than 150,000 people in the Bahamas have already been vaccinated against COVID-19. Don't delay, vaccinate today. Visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment at your nearest government clinic or the mall at Marathon, or simply walk into any of those locations. And so, ladies, so we're pushing the vaccination because it's an important part of health, and we're having a wellness conversation. And as we went off to the break, we were talking about recognizing, without even your partner having to tell you, you can recognize that there is some underlying, something that needs to be checked out. Participate in the conversation today. I'd like to encourage our listening audience to text 422-4796. Or to call 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4253. So Dr. Bannister, you were sharing with us that there are some things that show up on the body when we have HPV, and these may not be conclusive to HPV, but you did share that there may be a discharge from your genital area, or that there may be genital warts present that are visible to the eye?
Yes. So human papillomavirus can cause cervical cancer or it can cause genital warts, depending on the strain of HPV, okay? Some will only cause warts, and those are just a nuisance, but they are not cancerous. Now, there are other strains that don't cause warts, so you cannot say that somebody does not have HPV because they don't have genital warts. And then we were talking about a discharge. With HPV infection, you don't really get a discharge, but the other sexually transmitted diseases, such as chlamydia, may cause a yellow to green discharge. Gonorrhea may again cause a yellow discharge. Both of them may cause a malodorous discharge or fishy discharge. And most people may be asymptomatic. So yeah, so these are the things to look for. So for HPV, yes, you may have genital warts on the vagina, on the anus, around in the mouth sometimes. Because of our practices, you can even, the leading cause for even esophageal cancer is HPV infection, okay? Or mouth cancer. And so these are some of the signs and symptoms that you look for if you do have a sexually transmitted disease, and including sometimes burning when you urinate. So these are the frequent signs and symptoms that you look for, okay?
Yes, yes. And you know, with us talking earlier about the body speaks, like the body tells us that something is going on with us. It's important for us to recognize and not explain away these symptoms that we're seeing. You know, yes. For women, yeast infections are not something to be embarrassed about or ashamed about. It's you know, it's common, honestly, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So let's not explain away some of these symptoms that we're seeing, but let's get the experts to actually take a look at us, because one, prevention is better than cure, and two, early detection is what will help to prevent diseases from blowing up.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Bannister, let me share this with you, right? Most people in love, and I say most loosely, they ain't really checking for no annual exam. They ain't really checking for, you know, in the heat of that moment, they meet someone, they have that chemistry, they hit it off. You know, they've been talking for, it could be, you know, a couple of weeks, it could be a couple of days. I don't know. I don't know what the going time period is now. But you have this chemistry between you and someone, and you know, some people will be like, oh, you know, let's go get tested, let's check for HIV, let's just go get our annuals done and make sure that we have a clean bill of health. And some people, that's not even on their mind. Erica, as we talk about women and you know, and teen girls, because you and I both work with them, let's just have a really real conversation about the fact that, you know, people generally seek belonging. You know, we seek belonging. We want to belong to a tribe. We want to belong to someone. It's about making us feel loved. It's about making us feel whole. And a lot of times it's because we didn't have that father's love. It's that, you know, we're seeking the love and affection of, you know, a male, a man, to make us feel better about ourselves. We'll feel good if somebody else loves us. And because of that, like, we take greater risk. We may want to protect ourselves, may not want to use protection, but we really want this person in our lives. So we may give it up raw. You know, there are so many reasons why we engage. And sometimes we get comfortable with our partners and we have a degree of faith that they're being faithful. And y'all know the Bahamas is Sweetheart in General Station. You have married men who have kids outside of marriage, though. To have a child outside of your marriage means that you had to have sex with somebody else and protect it, right?
That's a very small percentage.
So we'll go with that. So let's have this conversation now. How do we help young girls, women, men generally, look at the risk instead of saying that, oh, they are at risk, because we know they are at risk, right? Let's talk about that victimhood part of protecting your thing sexually.
Okay. And this is something that I really, I worked with when I worked with at-risk girls. First of all, we do need to teach our daughters and our young girls how to love themselves, and that their body isn't for someone else's pleasure. I can remember working with a young girl in Miami. And when, you know, I'm talking to them about premarital sex, and I remember her whole demeanor in the class. And afterwards she says, they call me Miss Erica. Miss Erica, I didn't know I had a choice. Okay. I'm like, what do you mean? She says, yeah, I thought that if you liked a guy that you have sex with them and X, Y, and Z. So there are several ways I try to get to these girls because I'm a person. I can go years without it, okay? Because I am a firm believer that sex is a response to love. It's not the base of it. It's the response to it, okay? So I'm not going to have sex with you for you to fall in love with me. This is the icing on the cake, okay? So having to try to change that mindset for those young girls, that was really hard because they were growing up thinking, oh, if you like a boy, this is what you have to do. So I can remember reading Genesis, and a lot of people may not agree with me, but this is what I saw in it. And you know the part where God was cursing everybody, oh, the serpent, you'll forever crawl on your belly, this, that, and the other. And he cursed the woman in three ways. One, you'll have pain when you give birth. What were the other two? Do you know? Birth. And then I'm going to jump to the other one that most people don't know. Okay, when they said that your desire will be for your husband. Now, in the biblical realm, your husband is the man who you sleep with. Am I correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, I'm not some, theologian or whatever, but this is just my interpretation. Okay. So when they said that your desire will be for your husband, and we, I'm quite sure all of us and a lot of you who are listening, have slept with a guy that you really didn't like. But the minute you saw him with someone else, you wanted to put, if you don't, just toot your horn, if you know what I'm talking about. Because you have given that soul tie to that person, okay? And then when you go on and you saw how God cursed the man, and he says, whatever you work for, you would have to work by the sweat of your brow. Notice, he did not say that his desire will be for you. Now, I'm not some, Bible-thumping person or whatever, but when I read that, I was like, oof, because that was one of the reasons I chose to be celibate the first time I was. I like this guy. I'm going to be honest. Let's be real. I could call his name, but I'm not going to do it. Okay? And I liked him. I was an adult, and I had, we copulated, okay? You said we need to be decent, okay? And I did that. So I realized I'm doing this, and it's because I liked him. This was my response to let you know that I liked you. But I realized he wasn't doing anything, and he was like, and I told him I wanted this relationship to go further. Eric, I like where we are right now. Oh, okay. Well, that's it. I broke up with him. Stopped talking to him. He wasn't even my boyfriend. So let's be real, okay? I'm trying to get him to be my boyfriend because that's what we are told. Girl, ain't no man gonna like you if you don't sleep with them first. And this, that, and the other girl, you sleep with them, and they still don't like you. Anywho, so 6 months later, I decided to give him a call. Hey, how you doing? I ain't nothing. What's going on with you? And just his response, I'm like, okay, maybe he missed me or whatever. And he says, so what's going on with you? Oh, I got married and, God sent me a woman of God that I was practicing celibacy with. I said, excuse me? And he said, yeah, I said, so how long were you seeing each other? So while he was practicing celibacy with her, and did not have sex with her until they got married. I said, so you was using me for what she, listen to me. I was at work. Wow. I had to leave work. And that was a big lesson for me. And when I read those scriptures, that was the reason I had to start teaching young ladies how to protect their hearts, how to understand that. Can we say vagina on the radio?
No, let's not say vagina. Let's not say vagina.
Okay, well, I had to tell, you know, the doctor said it. I mean, I'm just saying. How do I say it? Anyway.
Your girl talks, man. Your girl talks.
Men don't marry vaginas. Men don't friend vaginas. They don't really care for vaginas. They just play with them. Okay? And if a man or a boy really likes you, that should be something at it. And when you have young girls who would come to me and they would cry, Miss Morris, you don't understand. In order for me, I mean, when you talk to the young girls whose mothers are telling them, well, child, if you want to eat your lunch, you want lunch money, or you need this, you need to go get this from that man. I was fighting against, let me tell you something. And they felt as if that was their purpose. That is all that they have to give to a man. But guess what? It's a million of them out there. And you think that's the only thing that you can use to keep a man is what's between your legs? Come on now. You know, you have so much more to offer. And I think even with my son, he's 10 years old and he's starting to like girls. I teach him, you need to value that as well. That is not for everyone, you know? So when talking to, you know, these young girls, we have to start teaching them how to love themselves without making people or guys believe that the only way that they're valued is to give themselves.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. I was celibate for 8 years, decided to throw caution to the wind. And the one time at 37, I got pregnant, I was like, okay? And guess what? Because even as young ladies, and I tell them, a lot of the times you cannot handle what comes with that sex, the emotions, the disease, the babies. And like another thing I tell them, I said, listen, you go out there and you get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Listen, pregnancy, because that is now your baby.
Yeah.
The only thing that changes for a man is his finances, if he decides to take care of it. Because when that baby needs shoes, you have to buy those shoes. Yeah. Before you eat, that baby has to eat. Before you go and get your virgin Remy, guess what? That baby needs Pampers. So it's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. And a part of the program that I did when I worked with the girls was to expose them, to let them know the world does not revolve around in Miami, the 305. The world does not revolve around this 21x7. You have so much out there that you can go out there and explore and you can, you know, get into before you tie yourself down. Not to say that your life is over, but you can experience so much more. And how many of us just toot your horn, that guy you were so in love with and you didn't think you could live without, tell me what his last name is. I bet you don't know. Or you don't remember. But when you see,
I kind of love what you're saying, Erica, from where you're sharing that, you know, sex is a response to love and not
it's a response to it.
It's not a way to get love. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, we aren't, and I am going to say that we aren't that, because as a young mom, I had my daughter when I was 19, as she was growing up. I was also learning to be an adult, so that we did not have these conversations until much later in her life about sex and health, healthy sex and safe sex practices, because you're not thinking that your 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old is actually engaging in sexual activity, right? So, I mean, some parents can see it, but let me just say, no, my daughter, I did not see that at all. So there are some parents who can see that. Sometimes it's happening, sometimes it's not happening, but that's not at the forefront of our minds to say, let me sit down and have this conversation and tell my daughter, if you decide to have sex, or tell my son, if you decide to have sex, these are the things that you should do. We're not having the, and let's just say Caribbean-wise or Bahamian-wise, sex is a taboo conversation. So we ain't about to open that door and have a conversation with our children. And one, have an open mind and accept the fact that some of them will have sex long before we want them to. Secondly, to have a conversation about if they choose to engage in sexual practices, how do you have safe sex and protect your taste? Right. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Bannister, I want to come to you and I want to ask you to teach us, everyone who's listening, mm-hmm. let us know how to protect our taste, how to have safe sex. What do we do?
So, yes. Yeah, so the first thing is having safe sex, using condoms. This is important. But we know that not everyone is going to use a condom, but we need to really explain the importance of having safe sex and the risk.
Dr. Bannister, they say they can't feel it.
And they, well, you know what? We're going to be appropriate today. They can't feel it if they're not alive, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, the thing is that, yes, so I think sex is maybe taboo with respect to, you know, we talking about it to our children. But nowadays with social media, it is just, you know, it really isn't taboo anymore. Okay. And I think that we can talk about sex openly. And we need to make people understand that having unprotected sex, you're putting yourself at risk for so many sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV. And I think that the younger generation, they're not so concerned because they're like, oh, chlamydia, I can take one pill. Gonorrhea, I can have one injection and I'm cured. Okay? And so this is what they're seeing, but not understanding that HIV, there's no cure. There's other sex, there are no cures, okay, such as herpes. And so we have to understand that. And yes, HIV, there's no cure and it is treatable. And so this is the reason why also, you know, people are not, I guess, so fearful of HIV anymore. Because I mean, the treatment is amazing and you can live a normal life, you know? And also too, the invention of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV. And so at-risk groups can take PrEP and prevent them. You can actually prevent from contracting HIV if you are HIV negative and having sex with somebody who is HIV positive. So with all of this said, you know, people are not so fearful of sexually transmitted diseases anymore, and therefore they have unprotected sex, okay? And also testing before having sex. I know it's not romantic, okay? I know it's not romantic to say you meet someone and say, let's go and get tested together. But you know what? It is a good thing to do because you can prevent the spread or you know, and any issues to come. So this is important, okay?
Yeah. So I also know that we had someone ask a question about what age can you have HPV administered, the vaccination?
Mm-hmm.
Can you
yes.
tell us a little bit about that as well?
So HPV can be our vaccine schedule, immunization schedule for HIV starts at 12, okay? It can be administered at 12, actually is as young, only for girls, it's for boys. Because again, our sexual practices have changed, okay? And you can get it. So before it was up to, I think either 21 or 23, but you can get it at any age now. And you can also get HPV vaccine, even though you may have tested positive for HPV, because there are different strains. And so you can actually prevent yourself from getting another strain of HPV. Okay, so this is important.
Okay.
Dequessa, I wanted to say something. You know, when you say talking about, you know, sex is taboo, I can remember a couple of years ago, about four years ago, myself and another young lady, we had a friend of mine who was HIV positive, and, you know, she got married, she has kids. And she came to the Bahamas, she says, at her lowest, she was down to 5 white blood cells. She
wow.
was on death's door. And she said, I said to God, God, if you let me live, I will let everybody know. I will talk about this because she came from a small little town in Florida. And she couldn't say anything there because she didn't want anybody to, you know, ostracize her or anything. And, you know, we called a couple of schools and
I'm sorry, I have to say this. We called a couple of schools so that she can come here in Nassau, in the Bahamas, so that she can come and talk to them about her experience and what she went through when she, I mean, and she was raw. She told, she hid nothing. She was on this station as well. And do you know that you had some schools to turn her away because, oh no, she may send the wrong message. What do you mean she may send the wrong message? This is the age group that is the highest that they're contracting HIV. And you don't want someone that's in this age group to come and talk to them about it, you know? And it's and that is where the problem is, because sex and, you know, the things that can happen as a result of poor sex decisions, here it is. You have somebody who wants to speak about it and you don't want someone to talk to your kids about it, you know? And the schools that we did, that did allow us to come in, there were a couple of girls, she still communicates with them. I didn't ask her, you know, why. I don't know if maybe they were going through this, but they were grateful that she came. So why would you, that's the problem.
Yeah, I think we need to be a bit more open-minded about having these discussions. It's not about saying to your child or saying to teenagers, go out and do this. It's not like you're giving permission. But what you are doing is giving them access to information that they can use to make the best decision about their sexual practices. You know, when we talk about our kids, even when we talk to our kids and share, we can share some of our experiences. There's nothing to hide if we have made mistakes that have caused us hardship in life, and we share those with our kids and we have them to understand the responsibility around, you know, protecting yourself and protecting your future. Yes. You know, when I was much younger, I'll tell you this, Dr. Bannister, one of the things that my mom shared with me was that, you know, sometimes we go to the store and we buy these products and we use them to cleanse ourselves. One of the things that my mom said to me is that your organ is a self-cleaning organ. You're really not supposed to be putting things that smell like flowers to offset the balance, right? In your body. And so even having conversations about those sorts of things, some of the products that we're using is causing us to have the challenges that we're actually having as well. So we do need to be more open-minded so that we help everyone protect themselves. We also need to be having conversations with men. And I think I call on men to have conversations with men about protecting themselves. Yes, sex feels good. Yes, skin to skin is beautiful. But there are some conditions and agreements that need to be in place in order for that to happen. There are some risks that you shouldn't take. There are some risks, like if you are a married person, there's absolutely no way that if you choose to engage in something extramarital, that you put your wife and your family at risk by not protecting. We know that it's difficult. We know that, you know, temptation is out there. It is still a choice, but there are so many choices wrapped up in that one choice to step outside of your marriage. I've also said that to women, because not only men aren't the only ones who are scheming, women have multiple partners too. We have to be responsible as women as well to help protect those men and to help protect ourselves, because one of the things we just talked about is the fact that HPV is as a result of multiple partners. So if you are going to have multiple partners, because we're not judging you, that's your choice, it's important for you to wrap it up. Secondly, it is important for you to know your own status. It's important for you to know your status. Like what are you? Are you free of everything? Which is why those annual exams are important. So Dr. Bannister, where can people go to get these annual exams, both in the public system, because there are people like me who don't have insurance, right? I know, Erica, when you got your diagnosis, you didn't have insurance. So there are so many Bahamians without insurance. I do have a doctor, shameless plug again for her, because she is amazing, Gertrude Holder. But where can people go in the public system? Because one of the things I think we're afraid of as people, Bahamians generally, is what people can say and who know us and who can get our information. Yes. So we don't want to go to certain places because we don't want people to talk. When we did a survey to find out why women weren't getting their mammograms, they didn't want to know, they didn't want other people to talk it. So tell us, where can people go, both in the public and private sectors, to have these annual exams?
Yes. So in the public sector, there are public clinics. There are public clinics all around, South Beach, Flamingo Gardens. I really encourage people without insurance and with insurance to sign up for national health insurance, okay, at a healthcare provider. And so with national health insurance, that includes a free annual a year, okay, along with a blood work. It doesn't include mammograms, okay, but it does include an annual, your examination, your blood work, and it will also include for women a pap smear, okay? And it also includes colon cancer screening, such as the FIT test that I was talking to you about. During the month of October, breast cancer awareness, you know that there are numerous places that you can get affordable mammograms, such as Fort Terrace, and I think and Doctors Hospital offer it for about $30 to $50. So it is. And so these are options for persons who don't have private insurance. So you can get your annuals for free once you join national health insurance and find a healthcare provider for you. In the private sector, there are numerous places. I work at Advanced Family Medicine. There are two, one on Shirley Street and one in Prince Charles. And I do offer annuals to those with all private insurance and also who have national health insurance. Okay. So there are options out there for those without insurance. And so there's no reason to get annuals, okay? And I think for the most part that, you know, your medical history will stay private. And I think that this really should not be a concern because you can't save your life. Mm-hmm. With this annual, yeah, you can save your life, yeah. And so this should really, really not be a concern.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know that you worked at Advanced Medical Center. That's where I go annually to do my HIV screening every year.
Hey, wonderful.
I think it's the quick one. I think it's
going. It we make it so easy. Yeah. It's so confidential.
Yeah,
you walk in. Everyone is so amazing, so nice, and you know what? In 15 minutes, you have your result.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it is good to know your status.
Yeah.
Okay, for many reasons, because anymore. Okay, and with early detection, there is amazing treatment, and also you can prevent the spread of HIV.
Awesome. Well, guys, we have to go to a break right now. Just hang tight. When we get back from the break, we'll wrap our conversation up. So thank you guys again so much for your contribution to our talk today. We'll be back right after this break.
Don't wanna rock, nah, no slam. I'm a vegan.
I got prostate cancer. My family didn't know if I was gonna live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and we set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options,
We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best in cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery. Life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public, its customers, and the residents of Melvern Road, Yellow Elder Gardens that the corporation will commence improvement work on March 16, 2022, for a duration of 6 weeks. During this period, there may be interruptions in the water supply, road closure, and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Ready day, sour, sour.
Welcome back to the Hip Back. I'm Duquesa Dean, hosting today with our lovely guest, Dr. Bannister from Advanced Medical Center, and Erica Morris from Legacy College Tours, and an amazing cancer warrior. I just would like to remind you with a Ministry of Health reminder here that the COVID-19 pandemic isn't over as yet. The COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are now available at South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesdays at the Flamingo Garden Clinics, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Fleming Street from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. and at the Mall at Marathon, Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We do have a texter asking if the booster shots are available. It says, yes, the boosters and vaccines are available at the South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Wednesday at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 3 to 6, Fleming Street, 4 to 6, the Mall at Marathon, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thank you so much for your text. We also have another texter saying, good show. Hope your open health topic, may I ask, please, concerning PMS, chronic anemia, and hemoglobin level, is it best to get fibroids removed? Hysterectomy, if recommended by doctor, or since I'm approaching menopause, just wait it out. Now, I'm going to tell you, Texter, I appreciate your text so much. I will ask Dr. Bannister to respond. We, however, want you to also make sure that you speak with your primary care physician for the best option available, the best treatment option available for you. Dr. Bannister?
So with heavy periods, fibroids resulting in very heavy periods, yes, it can lead to anemia. There are treatment options. They're surgical. Either you can get a myomectomy, which is removal of the fibroids from the uterus, therefore keeping the uterus. And some women tend to, they opt for that, especially if they want to have children in the future, okay? Versus a hysterectomy where they would remove the uterus along with the fibroids out until menopause. Obviously, fibroids are... their growth depends on estrogen, and obviously you have high levels of estrogen before menopause, and then it starts to diminish after. So yes, the fibroids can go away after menopause because therefore you have no estrogen. But to say wait it out, it depends on you. It depends on what your physician thinks is safe. Because if you are having extremely heavy periods and becoming severely anemic and symptomatic for that anemia, meaning that you are dizzy, you feel like you want to black out, you feel like your heart is racing, you just have generalized fatigue, then, you know, you should get a hysterectomy or myomectomy. Because it is, I mean, severe anemia is dangerous and it can lead to so many issues, including heart failure, okay, and even death. So yes, we should consider, I'm not too sure, it depends on you. So if you are not severely anemic, you're not symptomatic, there are ways to reduce your period by certain birth controls that can reduce the periods, and hopefully you don't become severely anemic and possibly can wait for menopause. So yes, it is an option, but you have to weigh out all risks and benefits, okay?
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Bannister.
You're welcome.
Texas says, great show as usual. Two meats, y'all, from Trinidad. It's the Bahamas. We have four meat and three starches minimum. In the Bahamas, people eat hot patty, potato chip, and soda for breakfast. Tell your guests, use the word hairy mango. And this is the Bahamas. We do not use condom. Yes, I agree with the lady. The sex word is a no-no, taboo, but everyone is doing it. Yeah, we as a society need to be more open and have a real talk to our kids about it. Absolutely. Let's just be real. Like, at the time that they are getting those hormones, when the boys start to change in the boys, right? When you see the girls start what we call bumping, when they start having their menstrual flow, that is the body's indication that their sexual organs are being prepared or are ready. Because, I mean, back in the day when our grammys had children, they were 13 and 14. So at that age, they were what people deem then sexually mature. We have changed the age of sex based on how society has grown, based on how everything is elevated, the roles of women have changed. We have advocated for other opportunities to be career women, to do other things. But back in the day, 13 and 14, they were having children. So our kids, when they reach the age of puberty and they start to enter adulthood, their organs are activating. They have sensations, they have feelings. All right, so let's just not ignore it. Like, you had them, I had them. And so let's not ignore it and have these conversations. And let's also take our kids in for annual screenings as well. Parents, we need to get involved and take our kids in to get screening. Guys, we're on the tail end of our show, and I want to give you both the opportunity to share. And so, Erica, I want to ask you first and foremost to just share and make an appeal to everyone out there about preventative care, about paying attention to their bodies, about, you know, their annual exams to help prevent or have early detection so that you have a better option to win the fight against cancer.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to send a shout out to Miami right now. My grandmother has channeled through her. Listen, my grandmother was a person who was not afraid of the doctor. You need to go to the doctor, you know? And even with my child at 10 years old, every Easter he would get his annual, and she did that for me, you know? So, and that is something that with me and my child that we constantly do, even with, you know, our getting our teeth cleaned or whatever, we go every year. And, you know, since the pandemic, and my grandmother was one of the first ones to, you know, die in Florida because of COVID. And it wasn't until like after her death, I took him for his next annual. Anyway, but I want to say this to people, and I want you to hear me clearly. It was less than 1 year from the time I had my last mammogram until I was diagnosed. Now, if you just imagine if I was a person that said, oh, I'm not going to get a mammogram this year. I had one last year. And when they did the CT scans and everything, when I left Nassau, it was 2 centimeters. When they did a CT scan, it had grown to 10 centimeters. Okay? So it was less than 1 year from the last time I had my mammogram till I was diagnosed. And I had friends, I'm not going to call their names, who I'm like, do you understand what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with? You need to go and get mammograms. And there are women that are afraid of it. I had a whole let's say goodbye to Erica's breast party, okay? It was, we had fun, you know, but I gave out coupons for, you know, my guests to go and have mammograms because, and the amount of the women that was at my party, a lot of them had never had a mammogram, you know? So, and I'm like, what are you afraid of? And just to see what I'm going through, let's get early detection. So go out there and get your mammograms. Wait, can I say one more thing? And when I went to the University of Miami, the second question on that pamphlet was, are you of Bahamian descent? And I asked her, why was that important? And she said, are you of Bahamian descent? I said, yes, ma'am, my mother's Bahamian. She says, I'll be right back. We are number two in the whole entire world. How many billions of people do we have in the world? 7 billion? And we are number two in the entire world for breast cancer. And you're afraid to go and get your mammogram? Come on, people. Don't go through what I go through. This is a lonely road. And it's very depressing. Yes, I've gone through. Okay? So that's me. Sorry.
No need to apologize, Erica. It's an awesome appeal. Because working with women with cancer, with the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group, I have personally seen the fight. And it is literally a fight. And what I've also witnessed is that those who detect their cancer early have the greatest success at winning against cancer. So thank you for that appeal.
Right.
Dr. Bannister, as we close out, once again, please let us know where we can find you. And also make your appeal to the general public to get their annuals or do whatever is necessary to stay healthy.
Yes. So I would really like to encourage everyone to get, and children, adults, to get their annuals. Because yes, just what Erica was saying, early detection is paramount. Okay. It is not to wait until we are ill to go and get and see a physician, okay? Take your health in your own hands, and you can, okay? I will welcome all children, adults. I am at Advanced Family Medicine on Shirley Street, just before Doctor's Hospital, and Advanced Family Medicine also on Prince Charles in the same plaza as Marco's Pizza. So again, I just want to really say that early detection is important. And you guys, you men, women, we are okay with this. But men, I only see men when they're ill. So I beg you guys to come in and get your annuals. It's painless and you might actually enjoy it. I have men come in and they're like, you know what? This was not so bad. This was not so bad after all, you know, and I'm happy. And they're happy that when things come back and they're healthy. And you know what? Majority of the time, your results and the outcome is going to be positive. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Bannister. I want to join you in that appeal to me. We're pushing women to get their annuals and to really look at their health. But men, you are the bedrock. Like, the women are the nurturers of the home, and we depend on men. We depend on the men of the nation. And so as a man, you are so vital to your wife, to your children. You're vital as a whole. So I want to encourage you. It's not a sign of weakness to go to the doctor. It's just not a sign of weakness. And I fault women too, because we take our girl children all the time and not so much pay attention to our boy children, but they need to see the doctors just as much as we do. So I want to encourage you, men, to take your sons to get their annuals. I want to encourage men to get their annual exams, to get their colonoscopies, to do their testing, because men get sick as well. And early detection and prevention are the best ways to make sure that you are in life, right? To be able to be that role model for your child. And I want to encourage all of us to really inspect how we eat. You know, food is either medicine or food is destroying our bodies. So take a look at why we are eating the way that we are. Why are we eating, what did the text say? 3 meat on Sunday with a minimum of 3 carbohydrates. Is it conditioning?
Yes.
Inspect the choices that we make regarding food and do your best as you possibly can to listen to your body. Your body is speaking to you. Every ache is telling you something. Everything that's happening with your body is sending you a message. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. And if we were to look at the health of our nation as an indication of our wealth, we are a sick nation. We need everyone to become healthier. And we need to pass these new healthy ways of living and of eating, of movement onto our children so that we can also have stronger children and their children can live healthier lives because we made the sacrifice to make the adjustment in the way that we're living. So at the end of the day, protect your things, get your annuals, know your status, and live your best life. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Hit Back. Thank you for your expertise today. Thank you for being here. Erica, thank you so much for sharing your story. Erica, how can people find you real quick? If people wanted to talk to you, they need a little encouragement, or if they need some support with their kids in college, like how can people find you?
Well, they can either go to my email, which is legacycollegetours@gmail.com. They can hit me up on Facebook. I also have Legacy College Readiness and Tours on Facebook as well.
All right, guys. Okay? So if Erica's story has inspired you, please reach out to her. If you are a cancer survivor and you're struggling with survivor's guilt, if you're struggling with your diagnosis, know that there are resources available for you as well. Just a message away. Don't shy away. Don't be ashamed. Don't fight alone. God bless you all. Have a great day. And thanks again. This is Tuquasity Dean hosting today's edition of The Hit Back. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Life
is the greatest
swelling by your hand. Many run to the doctor for pills. Instead of fixing the problem, it only make them ill. We need education. No more medication, yo. Herbs are the healing of the nation. Big pharma are scheming them to stop from plan. Inject the youths with vaccination. Them a mash up regeneration. Missing say,
take back your health. Do it for yourself.
Take back
your health. Take back.
The Hit Back is sponsored by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Burger King, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, the Water and Sewage Corporation, the Cleveland Clinic, and the Pan American Health Organization.
So much synthetic, it's time to naturalize, it's time to grow it ourselves. Don't depend on nobody else, cause nature provide the hemp undispelled. Now let us take back our health.
Take back your health. Do it for yourself.
Take back
your health. Take back your health.
Life is the greatest wealth.
Take back your health.
So don't give me no food from no lamb. Don't wanna rock, nah, no slam. I'm a vegan, I'ma say it loud and proud. Bloody meat, dead flesh, oh wow. Yo, them go slaughter the cow. It's a bloodbath now. We satisfy them hunger. Expect we live longer and look younger. Me ask them how.
Take back your health. Do it for yourself.
Take back.